Welcome, everyone. This is our November call, our Circle of Life mentor call, with teaching you some more mind-body practices and how to integrate it in your coaching sessions and your group sessions. So welcome, everyone. Let's start all with a nice deep breath ourselves, some nice deep breathing is always the best way to start and finish.
Lynn Gabriel.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Sorry I'm a tad late.
It's okay. And Lynn, you're going to be volunteering to have a little mini coaching session with integrating the mind-body practices.
Wonderful.
Yes. So, okay, great.
Hi, Rebecca. This is Ulrika.
Hey, Ulrika.
Hey.
Welcome. So if you could both, let's see, Lynn, I may keep you, I'll have you come back on, Lynn, in just a couple minutes or a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could all do star six. That's mute, and to unmute is star six again. So I'm going to go along with your requests, and one request was Brain Gym, and another was Heart Math. So I will begin with Brain Gym, and I'm giving you a real simplified version so that you can easily teach people how to use it. And there's many practices with Brain Gym. I started using it about 20 years ago when I worked in stress management programs for teachers and then self-esteem programs for kids in the late 80s and early 90s. And I learned these practices for myself because I did have some problems with writing and reading and dyslexic and ADD myself, and found that this really helped me to think and take tests and have less stress, and you know, made me able to really function at a much greater level. So, of course, I wanted to impart that to the children as well as teachers. And it's been around for probably 25, 30 years. And some of the main principles are that you drink water, which water conducts energy to the brain. It conducts electrical energy, and that's what our brain needs to think. So you start with a lot of hydration. And that also helps when you're stressed. A lot of times, we're dehydrated. And our body goes into like a physiological stress. And just by drinking the water, renews the whole system. It circulates the oxygen, circulates the nutrients, helps to clear the metabolic waste. So it's a very simple thing. Whenever you're trying to think or make a decision or work on a goal or something that's challenging, to give your body the resources it needs. And that's what the mind-body practices are for, is that we're really looking for ways to enhance all our capacities to be intuitive, to be creative, to feel our immune system being enhanced, to be able to think clearly, and to tap into more resources than just our mind, just the mental state. And in the modern culture, we are very mental. We have focused tremendously on our mental abilities. When what's been found is that there's intelligence that's even greater in the heart and what's called the gut, that there's more actual neurotransmitters, more neuropeptides, like more brain material, more brain information or information intelligence in the heart and the gut than there is actually in the brain. So we want to do practices that really open up all our capacities so that we're not just limited. Like if you're trying to build a house and you're just, you know, doing everything with the saw, it's like you're needing a hammer, but you're just using a saw for everything. Like just using your mental capacities, it's very limited. But when you have a saw and you have a hammer and you have nails and you have all the tools and all the resources you need, you can actually build and do something. So we want to always be accessing all our potential, and so that the brain can be used correctly and for our highest good, rather than being something that's kind of in the way or limited. So one thing to enhance the brain capacity is to be able to integrate both hemispheres of the brain. Some of you may have heard about that story about that, I think she was like a neuro brain, she was a scientist who had a stroke. And she had a stroke, and so what she was left with was her right brain. And the right brain was expansive and open and full of love and just like unlimited, just the most expansive, creative, brilliant, more like the heart energy. And then later she was able to retrain her brain and get the capacity of her left brain, which is linear and can organize things and help us to navigate on planet Earth. And so sometimes we feel maybe a little spacey. We might be too much in our right brain, or maybe we're feeling kind of rigid and very uncreative because we're just in our left brain. And we want to integrate both hemispheres of the brain for whole thinking. And when we're imbalanced in any way, when you're trying to, you know, balance your checkbook and you're daydreaming, you're just going to like look at your checkbook over and over and over again. Or if you're finding yourself reading over and over again the same thing you're not remembering, or you're feeling like you're trying to maybe write something, like you're trying to write something for your marketing, for your coaching, and all you can do is think these really boring, linear thoughts. You're just stuck in your left brain. Or you're trying to, you've been stressed, and so there's kind of more static on the line. You're feeling a little bit disoriented. Is that when we're stressed, our brain goes into a kind of a frantic state. And so Brain Gym is a way of getting the brain to be working with both hemispheres, breath, oxygen, integration. And that's when we are the most intelligent, the most creative. That's when we have the most success. And it's really great for any time you're trying to do something that's challenging. Again, when we're stressed, it's kind of like the circuits go down and they get cross-wired. And so we're going to just do some simple practices called Brain Gym or cross crawl. And cross crawl we did as a baby. That's where we use the opposite sides of our body when we're crawling. And that's how children learn. That's what makes how their brain integrates. That's how they know how to read and learn. And so we are just recreating those neural pathways for learning and thinking and visual for seeing that we did as a baby. And we always feel better after we've taken a walk. Einstein said, and Longfellow said, the great poet Longfellow, of course, Einstein, said that they would take in data or information, and then they would take a long walk and a nap. And between those two, that's when this intelligence was able to rise up, because they had taken in information, they moved their body, they walked, they used both sides of the hemisphere of the brain, and then it just like it was downloaded. So let's just do a practice ourselves right now where you stand up, and I know you have to adjust your phone, but we're going to stand up and do a little cross crawl. And there's standing up and sitting versions. So as you stand up, let's bring your left knee up and your right hand to touch your left knee. So your right hand is touching your left knee, and then the opposite hand, your left hand, touches your right knee, like you're marching. You're crossing over the center of your body. Again, right hand touches left knee, left hand touches right knee. So keep doing that for a while, and breathing while you're doing that. Let's just do that, and it's really fun to do this to music. Linda was asking for something more energizing. This is very energizing. And for real brain integration, you're supposed to do this 200 times. So if you put on some music, have people have a glass of water, they're breathing, they're lifting their leg up, so they're actually using the core muscles of their belly. And then the opposite, as I showed you, it's a little hard to explain on the phone, but those video clips from YouTube is where you're right, then you can do the back where you bring your left foot up and you touch your hand to your ankle. You're doing the opposite sides. So your right hand touches your left ankle and switch sides. Your left hand touches your right ankle. So try that for a while, too. So the back of your body and the front of your body. And again, it's good to review those video clips. And just do that for a while and just get your breathing going. And again, what we're doing is enhancing our capacity to think and getting everything coherent. And there's many ways to get the body systems working. And anytime you incorporate water, deeper breath, and movement, that's why Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga work so well, is because they're incorporating what makes the body work most optimally. It's a very simple thing to do. And I worked with people often in wheelchairs who could not stand up, and I would just have them cross over sitting down where they just took one hand, touched the opposite knee. So it's a very simple practice, and it's something you can teach your clients. So let's say we'll go through some mini volunteering sessions here, and to incorporate this easily, you can see how you can do this with a group, because again, you've got music, and you're just getting people breathing and moving, and it helps them to be able to focus on their goals, because when people are feeling scattered or tired, or they're pulled in 100 directions, or it's the end of the day, or they're, you know, sometimes they're working on something that's very challenging, this way they feel more capacity, more resources, and more energized. So just as long as we're talking about energy for a minute, Linda was asking, what are some other revitalizing practices to do? And one that's real easy to do is by kind of tapping with your hands, the flat of your hands or light fists, up the inside, starting at your ankles and feet. Tap the inside of the body, all the way up the face, and then go underneath your arms, the inside of your arms, tap all the way across to your hands, and then tap the outside, and tap on top of the shoulder, and then do the opposite arms, underneath the arms, like you're giving a little tapping, slapping, but, you know, nothing brutal or anything, just a little, and you can make a light fist, doing the arms, and then with your fingertips, do your face, tap your face and your eyes, all around on top of your head, and then tap down with your hands all the way down the back and down your legs and your buttocks, all the way down the sides of your legs and down your feet. And just do that a couple times, just tapping. And what this, if you're, you know, don't feel comfortable talking about the channels or the meridians that they are referring to in Chinese medicine, we talk about streams of energy. There's six main flows of energy, and that you're opening up those flows of energy. Another way is that it just increases circulation. And circulation heals the body, because circulation removes toxins, metabolic waste, accumulations, and it moves nutrients to the cells. So where there's deficiencies, now there's a flood of blood with nutrients and oxygen. So anytime we're moving accumulations, just like a water flowing in a stream, if there's a big boulder in the way, on one end there's going to be a big buildup of energy. On the other end of that boulder, there's no flow. And so when we take the boulder out, the flow begins again. So sometimes in the body, a person will feel accumulation, like maybe too much contraction or accumulation or inflammation on one part of their body, other parts deficient. This is a very easy way to move any accumulations out of the system and get that flow going. And also, if you think about like a pond of water or a stream of water, where the water becomes still, it becomes stagnant, and that's where growth becomes. There's fungus and growth that occurs when water is stagnant, and that's the same as our body, is stagnation in Chinese medicine. The three main disease occurrences are stagnation, deficiency, and accumulation. So So again, when that water is still, the circulation's not moving, the oxygen's not moving, the body's just getting stagnant, heavier, accumulative, the metabolic waste just sitting there. That's where, you know, the body can get diseased or there's inflammation. So then when you put fresh water, the water moving, flowing like a fresh stream starts moving, all the fungus and growth goes to the side and fresh new vital energy can flow. So let's just do one more time, tapping up the inside of the body, just thinking you're opening up all those accumulations, getting the metabolic waste to freely be released, getting that fresh blood flow that carries the nutrients, helps the immune system to carry the immune cells throughout the system. So with Brain Gym, back to Brain Gym, there are other practices with Brain Gym that you can do. If you want to, I would just highly recommend getting their booklet. You can buy a book called Brain Gym that has these exercises in it. Also, by just reviewing the notes in the that I sent you, Brain Gym exercises, as well as the internet, is probably the easiest way to do it. Another one, just a simple one that I use, is called Positive Points. So find the place. I also call them Oh My God Points. And you can put your fingertips up towards your hairline. And there are neurovascular points. And you know when you're, if you've had a child, when a baby is fussy or not well, you stroke their forehead. We also do that with our dogs and our pets. And what it does is it calms the nervous system down. So you can just put your fingertips a little bit below your hairline and just take like 5-6 nice deep breaths. What this also does is that when we are angry, upset, or stressed, the blood leaves the front of the brain, the front lobes, and goes to the back. You know, like when a dog or a cat's mad, like the hair rises up in their back. That's the adrenaline, that's the stress. And so literally, the blood leaves the front lobes and goes to the back, more to the animal part, our instinctive part, the more fight or flight part of our being. And so what happens when you're trying to talk to somebody when they're like that, when you say they're not in their right mind, they're literally not in their right mind. They are literally in a more kind of Neanderthal state. They're more in an animal reflex of fight or flight and survival. So by just bringing your fingertips to your forehead, right about an inch below your hairline, depending on where your hairline is, and just breathing for a few moments can bring the blood back to the part of you that can make good decisions. And they're called positive points, but again, I call them oh my God points. Another way to work on them is just to put one hand on your forehead. That's another way to do it. And, you know, if you're thinking about something stressful, it's okay that you're thinking about it. Just put your hand on your forehead, covering your forehead, and take about 6 to 8 deep breaths. Alrighty, so that's on the Brain Gym. And let's see if there's any questions or anything so far. Any questions or comments? Star 6 to unmute.
Hi, Rebecca, this is Rhonda.
Yes.
Just a comment on the cross-crawl stuff. When 4 years ago when I was in that train accident, I had a woman that was working with me after post-accident with those types of practices.
Was that helpful to you?
Oh, yes, definitely helpful because it's like things like they call it like secondary brain injury from the type of stuff that I had. I needed to reestablish that. So it was very helpful, and also it's like you said, it moves the energy too. So it was helpful to me personally.
What did you notice that was different? Did you just feel more relaxed, or did you feel more, balanced?
I felt more balanced because it's like after that accident, I felt like I was forgetful, and then there was probably some trauma stuff going on. So like if coaches have clients that they're working with who've had, they're going through like a rehabilitation process. For me, I was rehabilitating plus going through this trauma thing. So it was part of my process of mm-hmm. to do those types of, and they were simple movements, so they didn't aggravate my health condition, but they were simple enough to, to do.
Was there any other ones that, besides the two that I just shared, was there any ones that you found helpful?
Well, there was one, and her name eludes me, but we used to, like, cross our, and I think that, was it Donna Eden used this?
Yes.
You cross your hands in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and then you raise it up over you, and then you switch it. And mm-hmm. so there's that cross just holding that position.
So putting your hands together. Clasp your hands together.
It's almost like that yoga move where you put one elbow inside the other, and then just like your hands on opposite side. And so sometimes I would just sit briefly, like at my desk or in bed, and just kind of hold that, and then undo it the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anytime you cross over in the midline, in the center of your body, with your hands clasped together, or one hand towards the other side of the body, or even crossing your arms. People think crossing your arms and legs isn't good, but actually sometimes that's how you're integrating. You don't want to do that all the time, but sometimes when your body's naturally doing it, it is actually trying to integrate both hemispheres of the brain and de-stress itself.
And then also, like you said, you can do some variation of cross-crawl in any position, even lying down and sitting and standing, and so it's definitely helpful. And then I was doing it on the phone, and I've been doing a lot of computer stuff. It just instantly energized me for going to class tonight. So it's like, wake up.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Rhonda.
Thanks.
Anybody else have any experience with it or questions?
This is Teresa in Atlanta. What you were just talking about is called Cook's Hookup.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can Google that, and it talks all about it. I think a psychiatrist came up with that many years ago. But it's that you cross both ankles. It's really important that if you can, you have your feet on the floor, flat on the floor,
mm-hmm.
or have an intention to ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then another little addition to that in a Qigong class that I went to, they said you cross, of course, your hands, bring them up, and put your thumbs on your chin,
uh-huh.
and then scissor your tongue at the roof of your mouth, and then you just sit there, and it's amazing. Even in Andrew Weil's books, he talks about when you do breath work to put your tongue behind the teeth, and so I think there's really something into that palate connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's called extreme Cook's Hookup if you do all that.
Uh-huh. So Cook's Hookup.
Cook's Hookup. Yep.
Uh-huh.
COOK Hookup.
Thank you, Teresa.
Welcome.
So you notice for yourself, you just feel, what do you feel when you do these practices?
Well, I do that if I start feeling like I'm just out there. I just can't really keep a thought, and I have too many things, just tasks on my mind that just keep coming in. I think, okay, I think I'm, left brain, right brain out of balance. And I'll just sit and do that. And you can do a or some kind of mantra if you want to, but, just close your eyes and try to just let the thoughts, if they keep coming, come and just go. But eventually you'll notice after 2 or 3 minutes, you just can't even think a thought. You're just so totally neutral and grounded, and it's really, really neat. Really is. Really works really well with kids. You can kind of teach your kids or your grandkids, okay, let's hook up, because, kind of get over the top and out of control. Yeah.
And have you taught any clients any of this?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And how do you introduce it, or how do you tell them about it when you're explaining it? Because it is a little odd, like for some people, like, what?
I, well, welcome them to go online and Google it and read about it. And then I just tell them what I've just told you, what the benefit of it is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sit right there and demonstrate. You can either do it sitting down or standing up. So you might be somewhere, you know, sometime and you're standing and you need to hook up.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, and just, I try to teach them simple things like that that they could integrate in their, you know, daily. They don't feel like they've got to set aside 30 minutes to an hour to do something. And
exactly.
This was easy to integrate. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great, just reminding people just in like a minute or two.
Yeah.
How we're looking at things that shift our energy and cleanse us and renew us and bring the resources and intelligence that we need for the moment.
And that's what I like about what you were, the ones you were just talking about, because you can just step off and do them.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of get back. But that Cook's Hookup is very good for grounding and the left and right brain.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Welcome.
Anybody else have any experience or teaching or something about Brain Gym or similar practices?
Rebecca, this is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. With the tapping, I really liked the way you did the tapping. It was energizing, and I can really see people enjoying that to kind of get revved up. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. And then you want to, of course, do some, you know, butt slaps, too.
What I wanted to say with the tapping process, though, is that I often, in the group, use some of the EFT techniques with tapping.
Yes.
And sometimes I'll use some of the techniques I've learned on energy tapping for trauma, where you actually do tapping at specific places. Then, you know, you do something called a 9-gamut procedure, which is a little bit like EMDR with some rapid eye movements and other things. And you're doing this while you're repeating a phrase to yourself to kind of change your neurological pattern of stuckness.
Mm-hmm.
When I introduce this to folks, I often just talk about what we're doing is really tapping on some of the key acupuncture points, because so many people familiar now with acupuncture, it's been
yes.
Or by insurance companies. So if I frame it like that, instead of talking about meridians or energy channels, people start nodding, oh, yeah, I know about acupuncture points. Yeah, yeah, that could all work, you know.
Oh, good.
So I kind of use that, and I find that, you know, using some of the EFT is really helpful for folks, especially when they're starting out and they have, you know, intentions and affirmations that they're saying, but they don't quite believe them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes,
because things, you know, even though I feel like I don't deserve to have a great life, I deeply and completely accept myself, and I'm willing to move forward into my best life. You know, things like that. So they do this, even though I'm still upset, even though I don't think I deserve, and then put it with the positive, which helps them kind of cement their affirmation while they're doing the tapping process.
Absolutely. That's why we, you know, thank you so much for sharing that. EFT is fabulous for that. And it's, again, when we're tapping our body, it's like we're not just in our heads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I like your idea of, you know, talking about it being acupuncture points instead of meridians. And you can talk about acupuncture points, that you're opening up gates of energy, or you're just opening up, you know, freeing up all this energy flow. And, you know, you can just, like, be, you know, kind of slapping out whatever you want to clear out and just bringing in what you want to bring in.
Uh-huh.
And another one. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, and even though the 9-gamut procedure is really kind of weird and people might feel a little self-conscious because you're rolling your eyes around, you're looking up and down, at one point you're counting backwards, you're humming a little bit of a tune, so you can imagine it's a little bit weird. I usually frame that in saying it's really similar to EMDR, and a lot of people have heard of EMDR.
Mm-hmm.
And if they haven't, I say, you know, it's a psychological technique that's used widely by therapists to help people process some trauma, you know, and, you know, it's validated by a lot of research. So once I start talking in that language, then people are fine, you know, and they're not so resistant to some of the strangeness of standing in a room full of other folks and rolling their eyes around and you know, humming a few bars of Home Change or whatever, you know.
Yes, folks, that's all hum now. And is that, if those aren't people aren't familiar, that's an EFT tapping process. That's kind of the full full gamut, right?
It's an EFT process. There's a lot of processes out there. There's some specific ones that I really like that I've drawn from the energy tapping for trauma in particular. And in that process, and you can do it for things that are like small stress kind of, it doesn't have to be big T trauma. You can do it for stressful situations. And you actually rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 on what's called a SUD scale, a subjective unit of distress. You kind of call to mind the problem or the situation which as much specificity as you can without falling back into all of the pain of it. You know, maybe it's a big fight you had with your boss or something. So you recall the specifics. You rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being off the map stressful and 1 being not so bad at all. What's your rating? Then you create this kind of affirmation that you're going to say to yourself, and you repeat that as you're doing the tapping and the sequence. And when you complete it with the first sequence, you rate your SUDs again. And often it'll come down a couple of points after the first round. So then you might do it again maybe 2 or 3 times as the SUDs scale starts to fall.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent. And when you talked about research, what do you refer to?
There's a lot of really good medical research that goes along with EMDR and also, of course, with the acupressure. And there's also a number of citations that I have that show different sort of scientifically validated peer-reviewed journal reports where they're actually scanning people's brains and looking at brain activity before and after doing techniques such as EMDR or EFT and seeing the major changes in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at some point, if you would be open to it, I'd love it if you had any referrals that we could pass on to the other coaches.
I'd be happy to do that. Yeah,
research always helps people to feel more confident
about
empowering others with these skills, and it's just something to fall back on.
Absolutely. I mean,
that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Well, thank you, Linda.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And the other thing is always, you said something that's, you know, gets people moving is I always use music, and a lot of the coaches do, just something like a drumming or something, you know, just a music that people recognize that they just have to move to. And just doing that for 3 minutes, just, you know, rocking out.
Yeah.
That really brings kind of like, you know, a teenager kind of feeling back, and and it's natural just to kind of, and if they don't know what to do, I just tell them to shake. You know, if they don't know what to, you know, if they feel kind of self-conscious, shake your body, because that's so de-stressing.
Yeah.
And it gets so much circulation going, and it's be traumatizing that, you know, just doing that to music.
That's a good idea. You know, I have music that I use, but it's mostly meditation type of music for the calming, relaxing parts. You know, I don't really have any lively music, so I need to get some lively music.
Yeah, and we have, I think that I'll put that on the, at some point, post that on the Coach Tools page, but I do have a list of music, some, you know, some rock and roll.
Okay.
That it's just, you know, depending on the age group, of course, that you're working with, like, you know, you don't want to put, like, Aretha Franklin when they're 20-year-olds. They don't even know who she is, hardly. But, you know, depending on the age group. And there's some music that's just, you know, like drumming or whatever, that's just everybody, you know, recognizes their body just naturally moves to it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I need to get some lively music and remember about the shaking and that kind of process. Yeah.
I do a lot of, I tend to with my, always in my groups, is to do a lot of kind of shaking and dancing and tapping and movement. And then later, quieting, because otherwise I feel like people are, they don't have enough circulation and vitality.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm sensing too. I'm doing a little bit too much of the slow, calming, meditative movements, which are great for de-stressing, but then people get so relaxed.
They're like, okay, where's my blankie?
Oh, pretty much.
Well, thank you so much, and everybody can find free information about the EFT, the Nine Gamut, and all the different processes of EFT on the web. So anybody else have any comments or questions before I go into a little heart math? Okay. Well, the two things I'm going to work with right now is a little, you know, kind of we're doing the Reader's Digest version of Heart Math. We have probably a couple instructors here on, some of the coaches are certified instructors in Heart Math, and if anybody wants to have a session with them, I can give you their names. Heart Math, I don't know how long it's been existing, but I know that I have been using it personally and with my clients for probably about 8 years. And what's being found through research is that the heart and brain completely influence each other, and that the heart actually sends a great deal more of information to the brain than the brain to the heart. That the heart has 60 times more powerful, more electromagnetic field of energy than the brain. So if we want to go for the real tap into the real source of intelligence and energy, wisdom, information, a really good way to do that is to access our heart intelligence. And what I have found is that I like to say, like, people think of their mental self or their brain as like the CEO. And the heart is just kind of this nice thing, like, you know, Hallmark card, you know, oh, love. But really, we want to make our heart the CEO and the brain like the executive administrator that follows the directions of the heart, because the heart is unlimited. It has intelligence that far exceeds our mental capacity. Following your heart, all those expressions are really based on, you know, the truth of the energy field of the heart. And when people are stressed, usually we're stressed because we're focusing just on, like I said, the mental or the ego mind. And the ego's job or the mental self, its assignment is to help you to survive. So it never is in the present moment. It's always, oh, that happened, or what's going to happen? I want to plan. So when we're making our mental self the CEO in charge of our life, we're always going to feel a little bit restless. We're going to feel ungrounded. We're not going to feel resourced. It's never satisfied, or if it is, it's for like 1 second. It's already on to the next thing. But when we have the capacity of the heart, which is the present moment, mindfulness, present moment is where the power is. When you're doing something, the power is right now. It's not in the past, because the past is gone and the future is not here. So by accessing the heart intelligence, we can get answers and information and guidance that we can't get from just our mental capacities. What's also found is that when we start tuning into the heart, that it calms us down. It takes us out of fight or flight. Again, I told you, like, the mental or brain is, its job is survival. So it's always like a monkey mind, just going and going and going. And it goes into fight or flight almost all the time. And when we drop into the heart consciousness or the heart energy, then we go in out of the sympathetic nervous system into the parasympathetic nervous system, going into the relaxation response. Now, if you want to study the relaxation response, study anything by Herbert Benson. He started the Mind-Body Institute at Harvard probably 30 years ago, has hundreds of articles all researched, all, you know, high-level intelligent articles, stories, books, articles about the relaxation response. And what he found is that when people go into the relaxation response, which is to go into the parasympathetic state, which is more from the heart or the relaxation state, that the immune system is enhanced. When we're stressed, the immune system is suppressed. So anything we can do to de-stress our system, our natural capacity to be well is enhanced. So also, when we are in our heart energy, there's something called coherence, and that makes it so that we're, you know, it's like being coherent with something. We're aligned with, they're on the same team, there's a good flow, there's a good, like when you're working with a team, you want your team to be on this, you know, collaborating, rather than one part of you is just feeling this way, another part's over here, and it's getting scattered, and they're pulling on each other, and all you're experiencing is just some chaos or lack of coherence. So when we start tapping into the heart intelligence, so the heart energy, we start getting coherence so we can make better decisions. We can think more clearly. We're more tuned in. Our senses are more attuned and clearer, and we have a greater immune system. So we're going to do a little practice and just in a few minutes about using the heart. But before we do that practice, is there anybody that wants to make any comments, any of you who are heart math instructors or anybody who's used heart math, any comments or questions before we do this? Okay. So I think what I might try first is I think I'm going to work with Lynn Gabriel and do a little mini coaching session, and we may or may not use this heart process. And if we don't, I'll do it after our mini coaching session with her. Rebecca. Otherwise, we will use it with
Becca.
Yes.
Hi, I'm sorry to interrupt. It's Judith. I couldn't get off muted. But I did want to add one thing.
Yes.
To what you were saying about coherence and the importance of coherence and how heart math helps to bring the body into coherence, actually all the systems of the body, including the hormonal system. And one of the things that the heart math research has shown is that when we're stressed, and I think most of us know this, that levels of cortisol are very high in the body. And when we use the heart math practice, it helps to stimulate DHEA, which is the vitality hormone or the anti-aging hormone. And when we're stressed, and especially chronically stressed, the body is really flooded with cortisol, and it takes a very long time for it to clear that. So the heart math practice actually helps us to bring the balance of cortisol and DHEA back into balance. And when the body's flooded with DHEA, there's a lot more feeling of vitality and the feeling of well-being. So you can do a heart math practice for a very short time, and you begin to be flooded with that feeling of well-being, and that's the DHEA coming up.
Thank you so much. I had, if you stay on the line here, I sent an article to you where they had a comment about for every 60 seconds that you have that adrenaline or the cortisol running through your system, it takes an hour to clear it out of your body. Mm-hmm. That's why you said if somebody's chronically stressed, no wonder, you know, they're having hormonal imbalances, they're getting moody, they're wanting to use addictions, they're not doing well at work, they're not being able to fill their goals, whatever it is, because their systems are down.
The system is really flooded, and it takes a long time. And cortisol and adrenaline, I mean, those are kind of caustic chemicals. They get you up and off your butt and moving. That's their purpose. But, you know, it's that paper thing.
I didn't hear that last comment. Would you repeat that?
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, that you know, the paper tiger rather than the real tiger, you know, where our body's responding as if it's being chased by a tiger when in fact it's just a deadline. You know?
Yes, absolutely, or something that we made up about it.
Exactly.
Something we're imagining, like a story that we're telling ourselves about something, and then our body's responding as if that story is true.
Right, because the brain can't tell the difference if it's real or not real. It's just input.
Mm-hmm. And so it's just responding like the brain gives a message or the mind gives a message, and then like the caboose is like the emotions and the physiology that follows it.
Right.
So anything else about any of the research or, you know, any experiment or research that you know about or that you could refer to?
Well, if anyone wants to go online to heartmath.org, that's where they have all of their research listed, and it's pretty interesting. They're involved in a lot of different initiatives, and so that's, you know, if anyone is more interested in the research side, heartmath.org. Otherwise, heartmath.com, you know, is their other site, but the ORG site is full of interesting stuff.
Well, thank you so much. And this is Judith, and she is a HeartMath instructor. And Judith, when people would come to you for a coaching session, you teach them some of these practices, you know, I'm going to give it my own variation of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they also can be hooked up to like a kind of biofeedback system. Is that correct?
Yeah, they have some technology that they've developed called the M-Wave, E-M-W-A-V-E. And that, there's a couple of different kinds. There's a computer version, you know, a PC version. I think that you might even have a Mac version now. I know they were working on that. And then there's also like a little handheld device that you can use. And what those instruments do is, you hook up to them, and they begin to measure your heart rate variability, and that's really what they're measuring in HeartMath, the beat-to-beat changes in the heart as you experience different emotions, emotional states. So you can, and then each of the two systems have ways to measure your coherence level, so you could be at, you know, not very coherent or sort of, you know, a little higher coherence or a very high level of coherence. And they also have challenge levels, so, you know, you can keep challenging yourself. And you can actually, in real time, watch the beat-to-beat changes in the heart and know, you know, if you're attaining levels of coherence by doing practices to bring a more positive emotional state. And then your level of coherence will increase.
Oh, that is just, it's really amazing. And,
it is, isn't it?
And they're using it, you know, in so many contexts, like people in that are clearing trauma and with kids. And, you know, all of us have some level of trauma, even if it's, you know, just what we're worried about, right?
Yeah, they even have a contract now with the U.S. military where they're using it for PTSD prevention. They're using it with some of the National Guard units that went over, you know, had to go over to the moon. So they've even gotten themselves into the military, and they're also teaching it now at Stanford Medical School, which I think is amazing. So.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And is there, anybody has a question for Judith? Because she's a HeartMath instructor. Okay, well, thank you, Judith. Any more comments or before we shift?
No, I'll let you go on. Thank
you.
Okay,
well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your sharing that. Okay, so we're probably going to go another 20 minutes to around there. So if anybody needs to leave, you feel free to. Just, you know, I'm going to work with Lynn, and I'm going to take us through a little HeartMath Plus exercise that I use with myself and my clients that you can use with your clients, and I send the handout on it. But let's go to Lynn Gabriel, if she's still there. Star 6, Lynn.
Am I off mute?
There you go.
Oh, good.
Hi, Lynn.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. So we're going to do a little mini session to support you in your intention or working through a challenge or fulfilling your goal, whatever that is you'd like to do. And it's going to be brief, but we're going to, I'm just going to be acting like I've never, you know, really worked with you before, which I haven't, but I know you. So is there something that you'd like to focus on that you'd like to support in right now?
Yes. I recently have been having a lot of pain in one of my knees, and I've been trying to take some action in that area. And so my intention is to live an active, pain-free life full of the joy of living in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is to become more flexible, strong, and aerobically fit. And my affirmation visualization is, I am energetically paddling my kayak, feeling strong and graceful. The beauty of the day fills my heart, and I radiate peace and joy.
Wow, I like yours. Can I use your affirmations and goals? Sounds good.
I particularly like the graceful, because as my knee gets worse, I feel like I'm getting a little gimpy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So what is your challenge right now in attaining that goal?
Well, I am a Tulsa kind of person, so I tend to be very grounded, calm. You know, I guess I hesitate to use lethargic, but, you know, I definitely a very... steady energy kind of person. And so it's hard to really zip myself up, especially when I have the pain of the knee thrown in there as well. So that has been a challenge. Also, just fitting it in, making that a priority. I find that I have many things I can get busy with, and my best intentions slide down the scale of priorities often.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of my struggles.
So one is that you tend to be a little bit more, like you said, kapha, more, a little bit slower, calmer.
Mm-hmm.
Your nature is not like real perked up and speedy, but it's a little bit more slow. And so when you're in pain, it's harder, do you say zip yourself up?
Yeah.
Zip up. All right. It's hard for you to maybe be motivated to kind of, it's just not your natural thing is to be maybe kind of motivated to do this when you feel pain.
Yes.
And do you feel pain when you're still and movement?
No. One of the things I have been experimenting with has been Tai Chi and yoga. And I'm working, the yoga instructor that I've been working with is very good at giving me modifications. I'm in a class, but she's like, you know, okay, everybody do this. And Lynn, we're going to do this with a chair. and so it's feeling very... empowering, because I am able to do what we're working on with the modifications.
So you are making steps, even in the midst of being in pain. You are going to do things that you can do.
Yes. I do pay the price, though, the next day.
Uh-huh.
Not knowing... I guess that's a challenge too, finding how much to really push myself, you know, but yet not wanting to overdo.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor has told me that I will not do anything that would hurt me, because the pain will stop me. So I can do whatever I feel I can do.
Uh-huh.
So that's good.
So you have that, you can trust that as soon as you're in pain, that means time to stop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you won't injure yourself.
Right. And that's good. I feel good about knowing that. I'm not going to
know your limit.
Right.
And so is your challenge the self-care, or is it knowing what the self-care is? Like, do you feel like you know all the things you can do for your knee? Like, do you feel like you have every resource for...
Well, I am very interested in what we've been talking with about on this call, in that a lot of this is new to me. Heart math is new to me. I'm a little familiar with the brain gym kind of exercises, but I've never heard of heart math before, so that's very exciting. And I know I can learn a lot in those areas, and that's also a focus of mine in my business, is trying to bring more and more to my circle groups. I would say, out of everything that we do in circle, that's the place that I'm really putting my attention, of learning more, being more comfortable, and adding more tools in my toolbox.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pretend like you're not a coach, and that, you know, for the moment. So you have this challenge of your knee being painful. You're feeling like it's a little bit hard to motivate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Your nature is a little bit more towards, you know, kind of more grounded anyway, like, you know, kind of moving forward. So I have some self-care practices that can that you can do for yourself that can help maybe, you know, bring more circulation, can remove some inflammation out of the system, can just help your whole, optimize the functioning of your body.
Mm-hmm.
That are, you know, there's a whole range of practices that can enhance capacity to resolve this knee, you know, pain or knee problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there are resources of kinds of practitioners that we can investigate also. But is this something, you know, would you be open to learning exploring a couple practices that are used sometimes in physical therapy and used in oriental medicine? And
very much so, yes.
Okay. So what they do, these practices, again, is when we have an injury or pain, something's sometimes kind of overfiring in our system, something's deficient. There's something that's not getting the messages correct, or something's in the way, and so there's pain or there's some kind of inflammation. It can be very minor. It just kind of pushes on the tissues and can cause pain, or sometimes structural. So I don't really know. Do you know what the cause of the pain is?
I had an injury about 8 years ago to my knee, and it's just worn and osteoarthritis, I guess, you know, bone rubbing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's say I didn't know anything about, you know, I'm just coaches, everybody. Let's say I didn't know any, you know, she didn't really know. She just knows she's got pain. I don't really have to know really what it is. I mean, I did that because I just wanted to get a little more information.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get that information. But what we're doing is these self-care practices really help your body to do what it knows how to do. The body knows how to heal itself. It's been doing it your whole life. Get a cut, it knows how to heal itself. It does it automatically. And so when we support the body in a free flow of circulation and oxygen, and we have nutrients in our system, we have a lot of water, so it can be nourishing our system and increasing circulation, then we're enhancing capacity, no matter what it is. So first, I would encourage you just getting 3 glasses of water. And then a couple things you could do is just on the ear, and I'll send you a map of the ears. And this may sound a little strange, but in acupuncture, are you familiar with acupuncture? Have you ever heard of that before?
Mm-hmm, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, how acupuncture works is that the idea is that the body is an energy system. And sometimes our energy, when our energy feels good, you know, when you've ever felt like things are just flowing, you just feel good. Like your mood is good, you've got fresh energy. You ever feel that way or remember?
Oh, yeah. I can remember.
Good. So you have a remembered wellness,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And your body actually has that memory, too. So we can access what's called remembered wellness because our cells remember it, just like they remember some challenges, too. So what acupuncture does is helps your body to kind of open up gateways of energy that may have gotten blocked or need a little booster so that it can facilitate the natural healing resources to be mobilized in the body. And so you can do that with by pressing points directly on the area that you're wanting to heal, or you can work on points that are reflexes that correspond to the particular organs or tissues or bones or area of your body related to the points you're pressing. So just like when you're dialed on a phone, you press certain numbers and it connects you to your friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you press certain points in the body, it corresponds to different parts of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So on the ears, it's like a little micro map of your whole body. So if you would join with me, again, I'll send you a map. It's really interesting. So in acupuncture, which is thousands of years old, so it's got to work because people are still using it, and it's about 10,000 years old. So it's obviously something that's working. And there are little maps of the hands, ears, and feet that correspond to the whole body, like a little map of the whole body, like a little microsystem. So on the ears, if you press on the, like you're pinching your finger, your index finger on the back of your ear and your thumb on the front of your ear, just tracing along the outside of your ear.
Yeah.
And just press, and at the same time, really breathing deeply. Because oxygen, it's like when we come into life, we're inspiring, we're breathing in, and when we expire, right, we're no longer breathing. So oxygen is the most vital force that we can put in our system. So breathing deep and then pressing all along the outside of the ear. And there are points related to the knee on the outside of the ear. So if you think about the ear, like the outside of the ear, it's like the outside of your body, like your hips, your back, your knees, kind of the structure of your body, your neck, your elbow, your shoulder. And then if you go inside the curve there a little bit, those relate to organs. So those are your stomach, your liver, your digestion, your heart, the internal organs. And so such an easy thing to do is just press all along here. Now, as you're doing that, anybody in the background, please do star 6. As you're pressing along, do you notice any sore points?
Yes.
Right. And so as you're doing that, what the sore points, most common, you know, simplistic message about a sore point is that something in your system is imbalanced. It's either deficient or maybe it's overworking. Like inflammation in the body, that's when the body's overworking. So when we're pressing the points, it helps to regulate the natural healing that the body knows how to do. It brings it back into health and well-being. So when you find a sore point, you just spend a little more time there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I will send you a map. So acupuncture, Chinese medicine found this, you know, probably just by poking along people's bodies for thousands of years. They found, this relates to this. And then about 250 years ago, the Europeans picked up on the same idea, and they called it reflexology.
Mm-hmm.
So they found a similar thing is that the hands, ears, and feet, again, were maps to the body. And you don't have to worry too much about the maps. Like if you're working on a point and it You don't really have to know what it corresponds to. Just if it's sore, spend a little more time there. And as you do that, eventually that sore point will feel less sore. Mm-hmm. And we've had, you know, clinically, people get acupuncture needles in their ears for this. But you can do the same, get the same results by pressing, just by pressing regularly. Mm-hmm. And this also, if you keep pressing and then go inside the inside of your ear, like in the arch there, in the curve, and then give your ear a really thorough massage, what that does, that increases endorphins, which are the natural painkillers. And that's what you want to do, is you want to have a lot of endorphins in your body, and you want to be opening up those points for healing. So you can do that three ways. If you can do that with your ears, which are the easiest because they're right there. And you can, you know, put your elbow on the desk or on your knee, and you can just do this. And if you don't think you have time, if you ever watch TV, just do it during the commercials. You know, just taking a few minutes, maybe like three or four times a day, to deep breathe and rub your ears.
Now, actually, I've been doing it as you're speaking, and the sore part, I really notice a difference.
That it's less sore?
Yes, much, much less sore.
See, already it's shifting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the proof's in the pudding. So you can see, you know, we have just, you know, clinically, it's so effective that they're using it in hospitals, they're using it as pain management, they're using it in prisons, they're using it all across the country in all different contexts because it's so effective. So it helps to activate neurochemistry, brain chemistry, endorphins, natural painkillers, and it opens up those gates. Now the same thing, and we can do this at another session, but I will send you, the same thing works for your hand. So you can just take your thumb, let your hand rest on your knee or on something comfortable, and press with your thumb all along your hand and your fingers. And again, there's maps for the hands, fingers, and ears. But the main thing is find a sore point and you work on it. So that's your body saying, This needs some flow, attention. And what happens is it goes into homeostasis. It goes into what's balanced. So if it's too much energy in that area, it'll calm it down. If that area is not enough energy, it will energize it. You don't have, the body knows what to do. So those are some simple practices that you could do that just take like a few minutes when you're, if you're standing in line, you can work on your hands. If you're watching TV, you can do it during commercials or while you're watching a show.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other times you think that, are you interested in implementing some of this? Is this?
Yes. Yeah, I think there'd be many times I could do that without interfering in just daily life, you know.
Uh-huh.
Especially the ears, like you say, they're right out there in the hands, too.
There. Yeah, it's like your elbow bends and your hand goes right there. It's like God made it like, you know, you'd love it if somebody else gave you a massage, but since that's not happening very regularly, we can just massage our ears. So the deep breath and their ears. So that's one way. And then when do you think you might do that practice? How would you remember to integrate that throughout your day?
I think it would be really easy for me to remember to do it, like, in the morning when I sit down at my desk. And then I do make a habit of regularly getting up and walking to the other end of the building and getting a drink of water, and usually going to the bathroom, too. So I could just, when I sit back down at my desk after those little breaks, I could just do that. I mean, that wouldn't interfere with anything. It'd be easy to add.
And how would you remember to do them?
Oh, I think I can do that just by knowing it works.
That just seems like something that you can remember to do.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah, usually I encourage people because when something's new,
they
remember it for a day or two, and just then we kind of go back into our habit self. So I usually try to encourage people, you know, you can choose to do this or not, but just maybe make an index card or a sticky note Something to remind you.
Oh, I know what I could do. I'm really into stones. Oh. And I have a basket of stones that I've collected over the years that are, you know, kind of special stones. I will take one of them and put it on my desk right in a spot that I'll be sure to see it when I sit back down. That'll remind me.
Excellent. Well, we're going to complete with our little mini session. But thank you for, you know, being open to that. And, of course, there's other things to do, but that's something to do right away that's going to enhance your capacity to heal and to be in heaviness pain.
Mm-hmm. And I like it because it doesn't involve sweat.
That's right. Okay. We don't have to sweat.
Great. Thank you, Rebecca.
Well, thank you so much. So before I go to our heart math exercise, I'm going to take us through a heart math exercise as well as a couple of you emailed me and said that you're trying to make a decision about something. So I'm going to do kind of beyond a heart math, more what, you know, ask your heart some questions. So I'd encourage all of you if you want to. And if there are any questions or comments before we move on from Lynn? Okay. So we'll just spend the next maybe 10 minutes or so doing a little heart practice. So let yourself, I just invite you to get comfortable. And just being aware of that question or that stress or something that's, you know, maybe confusing to you. That's the signature of the ego mind, is confusion or restlessness or pain or suffering or, you know, just worry. And so just be aware of that thing or that decision that you want to make or the guidance you want to get. And I just want to say up front that sometimes it doesn't come immediately to you, and some people do get an immediate answer or response, and sometimes it comes later because you've planted that intention to be guided or to be healed or whatever it is that you're really bringing to your heart right now. And sometimes the message is something like, go take a nap, or go, you know, lay on the earth, or go have some fun. And it's not what you thought you wanted to get, but that was the guidance, because the heart will tell you what to do. And sometimes that's what we need to do, is we need to have a good meal or have a good laugh or take a nap or sleep on it or sleep on it for a few days, and then the answers will be revealed. And sometimes just get a word, a message, an image. It could be very subtle. But I promise you, you will be guided. So let's take a few moments and close your eyes and bring your awareness to the area of your heart. Bring your awareness down to your heart. Just notice any physical sensations that are surrounding your heart. Noticing any physical sensations as you're bringing your attention, dropping it down from the mind and the forehead and bringing it down as if your focus is around your heart. And then imagine that you're breathing in and out of your heart. And it might help to put your hand over your heart to bring your attention there. Just imagine you're breathing in and out of your heart. And then just take a few moments to just explore things that you feel grateful for in your life right now. It could be something simple like a comfortable chair that you're sitting in or something very profound. Or you might think about a person or an animal that you just really love dearly. Or you can remember a time in your life that you experienced a lot of joy or a feeling of connection, peace. And become aware of the feelings of gratitude or love, joy, peace that's in your heart. Notice exactly what that feels like inside of you. When you're feeling those feelings, bringing up that gratefulness or that time or a memory, or thinking of a person or an animal, what does that feel like? What are the sensations, feelings, and emotions? I'm going to ask your heart a few questions, and after the call, you can jot down some of the things that you can journal or write down a few things that came up for you. So now begin to witness your current experience, the thing that you're either challenged by or making a decision about or concerned about. We're going to be looking at it from the eyes of your heart. And I invite you to ask your heart, what does my heart know about my life right now? Continue breathing in and out of your heart. What does my heart know about my life right now? What does my heart know about this situation? What does your heart know about this situation? Thing that you're confused or stressed or concerned about or questioning. What's my heart calling me forth to do in my life right now? What is your heart calling you forth to do in your life right now? And how is my heart promoting me to be or respond right now? How is my heart promoting me to be or respond? And what does my heart know to be the next step? What does my heart know to be the next step? And these questions are all written out, so you can review them. But listen deeply and see if you have any guidance that might come as an experience or an image or a thought or a word. You might just feel moved, or your heart might be quiet, and again, it will be revealed to you. And then once you have some message from your heart in any form that it speaks to you, making a commitment to trusting and following the guidance, even if your mind objects to it. Okay, so we'll conclude just again bringing your attention, breathing in and out of your heart, and then gradually bringing your awareness, opening your eyes. And we'll conclude, so if you want to jot down any notes, again, I sent you a handout, it has these questions so you can review them, or you can ever use this anytime you want to access heart intelligence. And simply by focusing your energy to your heart, it changes and shifts your energy so that it's, again, becoming coherent with the rest of you, and your body goes into the parasympathetic, the more restorative healing mode. And as we, just before we close, is there any questions or comments? We're all kind of in an inner space. Well, blessings to all of you and to your beautiful hearts. And I trust your hearts have the absolute perfect guidance and energy and intelligence to guide you all the way home, meaning home to like real home. So thank you all for sharing, and I look forward to our next call, and all blessings to you. Good night.